welcome to a remote version of Instant Analysis, following practice number two for Notre Dame's spring under Marcus Freeman. I'm Tim O'Malley with Irish Illustrated and Tim Priester, plus John Bryce of Irish Illustrated and FootballScoop.com. And today, guys, 40-minute viewing, but we had a quality 30-40 minutes with two important coordinators as well in Al Washington and offensive line coach Joe Rudolph. I want to start with Washington because, if not good news, we had a good sign today that one of his depth pieces that's been missing, Gabriel Rubio, was in attendance watching practice and watching his position mates.
Yeah, it was good to see him. And Al Washington said that they expect him to be around. So don't know exactly what his academic situation is, but the fact that Al Washington expects him to be around is good news. We'll see what happens this summer. That'll tell us everything. And I also think, you know, I enjoyed talking to Jason Anye, and then for Al Washington to say, you know, he has arrived, or he is the real deal and somebody they feel like they can count on. He looks the part. That was the point of my question. The man, he really looks the part. And Al Washington said he's playing the part now too.
Yeah, TP, you and I sort of remarked when Anye walked up the stairs there in the IAC to get ready for his media session. We remarked on just how much he's continued to change his frame, how much better he looks, thicker, stronger. And he was a really good interview today. He said point blank he believes it's the best depth along the defensive line of his entire time at Notre Dame. He also touted the camaraderie and the chemistry among that group. And he revealed that Gabriel Rubio is one of his roommates, and Rubio is back living with him. And he really was happy to have him back around. He praised that Gabriel was uplifting to all of them now that he's back around the team more. So that was a very welcome sight. And it gives you an idea. The talk today, I feel like among the defensive line, whether it was Al Washington or the players we spoke with, was all the depth and the versatility and the close-knit nature of that unit. And yet Rubio obviously is not practicing. Riley Mills and Howard Cross also did not practice today. But there were a lot of bodies out there and a lot of prospects.
Yeah, Howard Cross had a class conflict. And I believe I want to go back very quickly to our practice reports because Jordan Faison was not there during our 40 minutes. But Jordan Faison was seen in a video clip, so he probably had a class conflict too. You're going to get a lot of those in the spring. Yeah. Remember, Faison's a freshman. You're going to get a lot of freshman class conflicts at 8 a.m.
I did see him walk into practice. I thought it was him from a distance, not in uniform. He does not have a lacrosse game this weekend. But look, they're just being very cautious with him. He to double dip like this is difficult to do. Yeah. So as long as he understands what Mike Denbrock is trying to teach, I think that's certainly the most important thing with him this spring.
Back to the defensive line, though, John, your line of questioning with Al was regarding their depth. In my opinion, Gabriel Rubio makes that depth national level, though, not just, hey, we can rely on these guys. But if you think about it, off the top of our heads, there's five interior guys they can count on, Donovan Heinisch being the fifth along with Rubio. There's two strong side ends that we know of, and there's three Vipers. That is quality depth, and all these guys have played a lot of football, except for maybe Traore, who we all are very high on. So this is a very promising front, and not only in terms of depth, but you have two All-American candidates inside. It's fun to have 10 good guys. They also have two great guys.
Well, not just All-American candidates, but Howard Cross obviously just got back from the Walter Camp Awards in New Haven, Connecticut, so he's already earned All-American status, and that was a great experience for the Notre Dame people that I spoke with who were in Connecticut for those awards over the weekend. But yeah, you're exactly right, Tim. It's an offensive and defensive game right now, along with the quarterback position. You win in the trenches. Notre Dame has replenished its trenches really nicely on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of praise for Donovan Heinisch from Al Washington today. I think that might have been your questioning, T.O. Yeah. I can't remember for sure, but a lot of praise for Heinisch and a lot of optimism and praise to TP's questions about Anye. And then, yes, when I asked Al about the depth there, he did. He said, look, yeah, this is year three. We're 300 level now course, so to speak. We are deeper. We are better. We are more versatile. There's some guys cross-training, and TP, I'll let you get into that a little bit with Anye, but Josh Burnham talking about that as well, some versatility he's up to. I think he told us today 253 pounds. He wants to try to play this season at about 255 or 260.
Yeah, as far as Burnham, I was just going to comment on him, John, because, you know, the last couple of years, you've heard coaches and people say, well, he looks the part. I've never really thought that quite yet, that he hadn't quite filled out. I thought that today. And you know, he's had several years to get to that point. He's playing on the strong side, so he's going to need to be a little bit bigger and you know, with a little bit more pop. And I thought he looked good too. So, you know, and then you can talk about, I mean, watching practice from a distance, when I see a Bryce Young running around out there, yeah. The first thing that came to mind, remember Virginia had some of those long outside linebackers. That's what he looks like right now. Of course, he's going to be a defensive end role at Notre Dame, and who knows how soon before that hits, because he does have to fill out. But that is a big time major college body. When you talk about like SEC bodies, he hasn't filled out yet, but frames, that's an SEC frame right there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Bryce Young. He was noted heavily in my defensive practice report today. And just the way he sort of eats up space, but he eats it up just gliding along. There's such a fluidity to his movements. And I watched Al Golden specifically work really closely with the edge guys today, as he wanted them to have eye discipline into the backfield while setting the edge, keeping contained, and then reading plays and reacting. And it was really some quality teaching. And it was interesting to watch the guys go through those drills. And Bryce Young, you saw him do okay in his first rep in that drill, but then his second rep, he was so much smoother, so much more fluid, read it well. And I think they even gave it to the second back in that drill rather than the first back, but he still read it well. And again, you see his wingspan like a condor, and it just helps him take up so much space. Somebody from Notre Dame walked by me as I was watching that drill, and he was just like, "You cannot tell me Bryce Young is not a football player. That is a football player."
You know, since we're talking about bodies and frames, we should say that Emil Wagner also came upstairs to talk to us. He did tell reporters, I was not there for this, but reportedly he told people he is around 290. So he doesn't know where the 280 came from. And we were told by a few people, of course, you're not sure if those are going to be accurate or not. But I thought the most important thing was I asked Joe Rudolph, what does he need to gain? And Rudolph had a great line about his future. He said he might not be 315 until he's 28 years old. That would, of course, insinuate that's in his NFL career. But that he is strong, that he holds the weight well. And they want him to gain a little bit more power, of course, to compete for that job.
He does not, boy, sitting there in an interview, he does not look big. He does not. But if he's strong, look, that he is who he is. And there's been like a debate on the Four Horsemen Lounge about whether you can add weight or not. It's not just a matter of adding weight. It's a matter of working out in the weight room. It's the physical training. It's the practice. It's dealing with a lack of sleep because of school. There are a million reasons why your body weight can be impacted, not the least of which is every individual is different and human, and you can't just, you know, necessarily pack on weight. Just because it happened to you as a high school athlete doesn't mean that it happens with a player like that. And sometimes a player like that, like Wagner, he grows a little bit taller maybe than you thought his genes would yield. And so it's just harder to fill out his body. I don't want to talk about the physiology of all this because I don't understand it, but let's just be real. We're human beings and not everybody can just slap on weight and keep it. Zeke Correll dealt with it for years and finally kind of got over the hump this past year at Notre Dame.
Well, and to that point, TP, I mean, it's clear that Emil is stronger and he has made improvements to his frame and he does look better. And he looks better right now than he did even in the fall. And there's just more definition there. There's more muscle there. There's a much more defined body. And let's remember, not everybody's Joe Alt coming in at 235 or 240 and able to gain up to 290 or so by the beginning of his freshman year. But there was still that progress and that evolution for Joe Alt, and we're continuing to see that with Emil.
Before we get into the offensive line starters we discussed, or his top five as of now, I was in the binoculars early in practice looking across the field, trying to figure out who it was that was talking to Marcus Freeman. I was like, "God, that guy is huge. Is he a recruit?" And it was Joe Alt, so he is big, and he should be just fine at the next level. It's not a recruit, but it would be great if that was a recruit coming to the
league. I hear he's got a chance to be pretty good.
Yes. We talked to Coach Rudolph, and You talked to him extensively, TP, about Tosh Baker and what he needs. And I thought he gave you I thought it was an interesting conversation, really, because he mentioned more weight room work. I mean, this is year five. This is the time it has to kick in.
Yeah, you didn't really want to hear that. But I think, you know, one of the things, and he said it about Baker as well as Jagasa, who the more I watch him, I'm going to write about that. He looks, sounds, moves like Aaron Taylor to me. I'm not saying that he's going to be Aaron Taylor. I'm just saying that the physical characteristics, when I was watching him on the field, I thought, wow, that movement looked like Aaron Taylor. By the way, Aaron Taylor ended up where? At guard. Now, he was a tackle. And
he was a guard at Notre Dame, too.
He was eventually a guard. Look, if they need Charles Jaggers at a tackle, they need him at tackle. And like I've said before.
They do. they do.
And so if he's one of their best tackles, then he's a tackle for now. I'm just saying that long term, I think he's more of a guard. But yeah, Baker, I enjoyed the conversation with him because he seemed very relaxed and confident. And a lot of times when that shows up in the interview process, it translates to the confidence that he's gaining on the field. And speaking of guys they need, I mean, they need him to step forward and be that guy. And man, he is massive. It was Burnham that was saying, what is he, 6'8", 6'9"? Yeah, he's a big dude. And look, we know he has the feet. That was something that Joe Rudolph was talking about both him and Jagasaw. When they're just not completely confident to be aggressive, that's where you see the shortcomings. When they just go for it and let their natural abilities take over, because I guess there were some snaps in the Sun Bowl where Jagasa, kind of laid back a little bit. Well, when you lay back as a left tackle, now you got a defensive end that's got the jump on you. So, they need the reps. Joe Rudolph is a good coach. Tosh Baker was a hell of a prospect coming out of high school. We know Jagasa is too. There'll be a learning curve along the way, no doubt about it. But those are two really, really good prospects at tackles. I know a lot of people are like, well, who are they going to get? The grad in the transfer portal. Look, you recruit great players. You need to develop great players. Tosh Baker, it's certainly time for him. Jagasa seems to be a little bit ahead of schedule.
I think you can't say the interior is set, but I believe it's set this spring because of our last question to Joe Rudolph, where he kind of revealed Rocco Spindler really worked to get back into shape to compete this spring, but they still take it easy with him. Like, it's going to be very hard this spring for him to try to reclaim his job back, first of all, because Billy Schroth is greatly ascending. But Rocco Spindler, he said he maybe didn't want to put a number on it. He's not in the 90% range, but he does most of the things he can. That makes it a summer competition, an August camp competition. And I bring that up because when we concluded spring last year, Billy Schroth seemed like the starter. Pat Coogan certainly did not seem like a starter. We didn't know that this was good. Pat Coogan played more snaps than anybody else. So August is when the proving ground will be. But right now, he does like the consistency of Coogan. It seems like Ashton Craig is not a 4-3-game starter. It seems like he's coming back for his second year of starting. And he just said Billy Schroth is a guy that you can see the difference, because last year in the spring, last year in August, still things would start happening and he'd start thinking, and he wasn't Billy Schroth. Well, now he doesn't have to think about it quite as much.
And we heard a little bit about the mentality of those guys already showing up and some of the defensive guys calling them scrappy. Sort of gritty, I think, was used by more than one person. And specifically, it was used in relations to Billy Schroth and to Ashton Craig. And then obviously Pat Coogan, as you noted, played a ton last year along the offensive front. So it does look like particularly those three interior positions are pretty solidified for the duration of spring. And as I noted in the practice report, crazy as it seems, as this is practice number two today, we're 1 month today from the blue and gold game and putting a bow on this third Marcus Freeman spring camp.
And I don't want to downplay. I think that will be the starting five, but I just want for our readers and subscribers that it's a hard competition because Spindler worked his way back to get to 90% range, right, or something along that. Yeah. It's not quite what he would need to do.
Well, and it was good to hear Joe Rudolph validate a little bit something that we've been saying, especially I've been saying about Pat Coogan. I mean, he's a battler. He works hard. He's getting better. I thought a lot of that showed last year, but if you pick out individual plays like you could with Spindler, you could say, well, they're not very good or they're not very consistent. Rocco Spindler played well beyond anything that I expected last year, but there were some inconsistencies, I think, more than there were with Pat Coogan. I things are trending in the right way there. And yeah, Ashton Craig, the reason we feel about the way we do about Ashton Craig is the reason that Zeke Correll is now at NC State.
Yeah,
I mean, Notre Dame felt comfortable enough to say, yeah, this is the guy that we want at center. And, you know, Zeke Corral was a great soldier for Notre Dame, made himself a much better football player, much better center, obviously, than he was at guard. But Ashton Craig has more length, and Ashton Craig has more time in the program still to come. And so that was a decision they made. But, you know, it's coming along. The tackles are going to go through a still a growing period here, but I think that the interior offensive line with guys like Pendleton, JB, you've talked about Sullivan Absher on the edge, that it'll be good that he'll start getting reps and start getting indoctrinated a little bit further now, but it's coming along. It's still an offensive line without a whole lot of experience, and there are going to be times during the 2024 season, perhaps as early as at Texas A&M, where they're going to go through a period of struggle. I don't know too many offensive lines in the country that can avoid that. Alabama didn't avoid it last year. They struggled. Notre Dame will struggle at times, too, with the youth.
They only care about the money, though, Tim. They don't care about winning anymore. Remember that.
The last thing I would say on that, I know we're running out of time here, is along the offensive front. It's also where they benefit from Al Golden being a mad scientist, because he does not hold back, and he unveils – so many different things, and we'll throw so many different blitzes at the group. And that defense is known to really get after the offense, and they compete. Al Washington was talking about it today. You compete in everything. He was stressing it to his guys. You compete in everything. Notre Dame takes that approach from the top down. So I do think Notre Dame's offensive line, as untested as it is, will benefit from facing a fairly veteran Notre Dame defense and Al Golden and what he's able to sort of deploy upon them.
Well, this has become part Irish Illustrated Overtime, part Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis Delayed, and we have a Irish Illustrated Insider podcast to do in exactly 2 hours. So until then, for Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated, John Bryce of FootballScoop.com, and Irish Illustrated, I'm Tim O'Malley, and we can talk to you guys in 2 hours.